Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end, eternal joy. He's my friend, eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Sanctification by faith. We know that we're saved by faith, and we also live by faith as well as being saved. And so as we look at living by faith this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have saved us, that you have, even as Abraham, who was called a friend of God, and you saved him by faith. And we know that whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, or even those during the tribulation period that get saved, in all ages, it's only by faith. And so, Father, we thank you that you have saved us, and we pray that you would increase our faith, that we would be more faithful to you. In Christ's name we ask, amen. As we looked last week, I have 3 points to the outline this morning: salvation by faith, service by faith, and sanctification by faith. And we're going to spend just a few minutes on the first two and spend most of our time, because the first two were more having to do with the verses from last week. We know that we're saved by faith. In verse 1, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's through faith that we know God. And it's important to know God, not just know about God. There are a lot of people that know about God, but there's a big difference in knowing God personally. Verse 6 goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe. Of course, believe is the verb form of the noun faith. So those that come to God must come by faith. And so this morning we're going to be talking about some works that we do after we're saved. But we know that we're not saved by the works of righteousness which we have done. Jesus said in John chapter 10, speaking of his sheep, he said, I know my sheep and am known of them. And so Jesus knows us personally, and we're able to know him as well. And so salvation is by faith. We trusted Christ as our Savior. The moment we did that, we were saved. For me, it was 9 years old. Some of you, maybe as children, some of you as adults, but the moment we put our faith in Christ, we're saved. Then after we're saved, we see in verse 8, we serve God by faith as well. And so there are works involved in our lives, but they're not works involved in salvation. So our service is by faith, and we go for God. That's what Abraham did in verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. And so God called him to go. And by faith, he went out. And so after we get saved and we trust Christ as our Savior by faith, then we begin to go for him. Someone has pointed out before, maybe you've heard that the word gospel starts with go, and the word God starts with go. The Lord gave us the Great Commission, which says go into all the world. So part of our service for the Lord is going into a lost world, a world that doesn't know about the newborn King of which we sang this morning. They don't know salvation. They don't know God personally. They know about him. They've heard the story of Christmas, but they don't know the Christ of Christmas, and there's a big difference there. And so these actions alone, as we serve the Lord with our actions, they don't save us. They don't even prove salvation by themselves. Because we know in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, haven't we done miracles in your name? Haven't we prophesied? Haven't we done all these things? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. And so there are people today even who are active and religious activity, maybe even under the name of Christianity. But actions alone, service alone, doesn't mean a person is saved. In verse 7, it talks about Noah. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, he moved with fear. And so he went, he did something. And so we are saved by faith. The moment we trust Christ, of course, that's called justification. And then after we get saved, we start serving the Lord. We do like Noah did, and we obey. We do like Abraham did, we obey. And even neither one of these really understood there what was going on. Noah didn't understand all about the flood. Abraham didn't know where he was going. And that's what faith is. It's trusting God, even when we don't understand. So we have salvation by faith, where we know God, and service by faith, where we go for God. But what we're going to focus on from the rest of this chapter this morning is sanctification. It's also by faith, and that is where we grow in God. Whenever we first get saved and we put our faith in Christ, that word, theological word, is justification. And whenever we get justified, it is an instantaneous thing, where we see God by faith and we trust him and we're saved. Well, one of these days we're going to be glorified, and that happens instantaneously as well. But then we're going to see God by face, not so much by faith. We're going to see him face to face, and we're going to be like him. Well, in between that time where we are instantaneously saved or justified, and the time that we are instantaneously glorified, there's a process of trusting God through our walk with him, and that is called sanctification. And so we have our belief, our faith in God, and then we start to have some actions in our lives that help to demonstrate faith. They are the result of faith. And so we're going to look at, I think, 9 or so there this morning. First of all, we're going to look at these words that are in the scriptures, and they will all be ending in ing, so we can see that these are constant activities that we should have. In verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 11, the first thing that we do as part of our sanctifying process is to account. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up. And of course, this is talking about Abraham and how God had told Abraham to take his son Isaac and take him there and to sacrifice him. And Abraham obeyed, and Abraham had received the promise that through Isaac, his seed was going to come. And so here's Abraham
he doesn't understand, God, how are you going to raise up this seed through Isaac if he's dead? And so God had told Abraham what to do, and Abraham knew that somehow, he didn't know exactly how, but he knew that somehow God was going to do what he said. And that's what faith is, accounting that God is faithful. He's going to do what he said he's going to do, though we might not understand it. We do trust that God is somehow going to be true to his word. He can't do anything else. He is always true to his word. Another thing that is part of our sanctifying process that we do, not in order to be saved, but as a result of being saved, is in verse 20. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph there. And so the next thing we see that we're doing as a part of sanctification is blessing others. The word sanctification means set apart. So whenever God saves us, he sets us apart as his children. He doesn't set us apart so that we can hoard things unto ourselves, that we can serve self, but he sets us apart so that we can minister to others. And that's what they did here. Jesus, when he came, remember the scripture says that Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And one of the things that we do in the process of sanctification, as God sets us apart for service, is to serve others. And through serving others, we're serving God. And as much as we've done it unto these, we've done it unto him. And so there is great joy and blessing in ministering to others. It is a part of the sanctifying process. Now, we're not saved because we minister to others. We minister to others because we're saved. That's part of the sanctifying process. Verse 22, we see a third activity that we do as part of sanctification there. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, when he was dying, you understand, he didn't say it after he was dead, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. So the third thing that we do are instructing. The Bible says in the New Testament that God gives each one of us spiritual gifts. And with the spiritual gift or gifts that God gives to us, we're to use them to teach others, to edify others. And here he is in verse 22, Joseph is dying, and even on his deathbed, he is still, as it says here, making mention. He's remembering there. All the way up until the moment he dies, he's doing this. And that's what God wants from us too. In this process of sanctification, we don't get to an age where we stop serving the Lord. We don't get to an age where we have already been glorified. Not in this life. It's not till later when the Lord comes or when we die, we see him there. And he made mention. He remembered what God had done. We're in Genesis in the evenings, and we're a long ways yet from the end of the book. But the end of Genesis ends in these words concerning Joseph. It says, he was put in a coffin in Egypt. That's how Genesis ends. A coffin in Egypt. The last four words of Genesis there. That's really all we have in this world, isn't it? You know, just that coffin in Egypt. We don't have anything of this world. This world is not our home. This is not where we are longing to stay for eternity there. And so here he is giving these instructions concerning his bones. And he's going to die there in Egypt, but he doesn't want to be left in Egypt. Not even the remains of him. He doesn't want anything to do with Egypt. He says, carry my bones and bury them in Canaan land there. And he is giving instructions. He didn't want anything to do with the old life. And that's what sanctification is. It's a process where God is taking us from justification to glorification, And our desire as Christians should be, I don't want anything to do with the old life, and continue to give instructions to others as well. Verse 23, we see a fourth action that we do as part of the sanctification process, and that is sheltering. Here, speaking of Moses' parents, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment, that is Pharaoh's commandment, to have the children killed or even be punished themselves. And so Moses' parents, they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of the king. They weren't afraid to shelter Moses. They took him, and rather than having him be a part of the governmental system of Pharaoh, they were willing rather to put him in a river with the crocodiles than to trust an ungodly king here. And sometimes if you are ever accused of sheltering your children too much, take it from your pastor, there is no such thing. You cannot shelter your children too much. It is our responsibility to protect them and shelter them, whether it's in a Christian homeschooling, whether it's in a Christian school. That's what we need to do. We need not to be afraid of doing that and sheltering them, even Christian college there. We need to shelter them, because when we're sheltering them under a certain umbrella, we're sheltering them from an evil world, Pharaoh, and all the wickedness that's there. Joseph didn't want any part of that old life. Moses' parents, they didn't want to be a part of that either, and so they sheltered him. They hid him 3 months there. And we do all we can to protect our children from what people call the real world. Yeah, it's a real world. It's real evil, isn't it? It's a terrible place, and so as believers, we want to shelter our kids from that and our families from that. Well, let's go on to verse 24. We see a fifth activity that we are doing as part of the sanctification process, and that is refusing. There are certain things that we must refuse. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused. That means he denied to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why did he refuse that? Why did he deny that? Well, partly because he was sheltered. He was brought up right there, but then he began to practice what he was taught there. And just because a person is taught the right things doesn't mean they're always going to make the right choices. So we as parents, we have the obligation and the responsibility and the privilege to shelter and teach our kids. But when they're older, they're going to make decisions. Well, Moses did, and when he was come to years, when he was older, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so the associations, if we have wrong associations, we're not going to be able to grow in Christ if we're feeding on the world's diet. And so here, Moses says, I'm going to not have a part of that. He would rather, verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And so in our Christian lives, we sometimes have to refuse some things. We refuse to go certain places. We refuse to associate with some people. We refuse to, sleep in and, you know, have our own way during church, or rather than, you know, we refuse certain things so that we can be pleasing to God. And so sometimes people will say, well, that's negative and that's legalism, but here he was refusing certain things. And in our walk with the Lord, in our sanctification process, there must be some things that we refuse to do there. Well, the flip side of that is choosing. We refuse certain things, and verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose affliction rather than pleasure. Now, who is going to choose that from a human standpoint? Who's going to say, I'd rather be afflicted than have pleasure? That's not the flesh that's going to make that decision, is it? It is a person of Christian character. And that's what the sanctification process is. It is a process of developing Christian character. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in speaking of the latter days, it says, in the latter days, people will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So there's the choice there. Lover of pleasure, lover of God, more than. And so here Moses chose. And the choices that we make, they prove whether we are choosing pleasures for the flesh or whether we are choosing something that is honoring to God. It may be even afflicting to us, but we would rather be afflicted and please God than to choose the easy way, the convenient way, as a lot of Christianity today is a religion of convenience there. So the choices we make, choices for friends, choices for entertainment, choices for our habits, choices for mate, choices for college, choices for church, all of these choices we make, choosing rather. And so there are certain things that we refuse and then certain things that we choose. Whatsoever things are good, have good report, those things, as Philippians says, we think on those things and we choose those things. Well, let's go on to the next one. Verse 26, the next action that we take is esteeming, not self, not self-esteem, but rather esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. And the word esteem means to think highly of. It has the idea of putting something else first there, to put it foremost in your thoughts. And so we don't esteem the riches of this world. That's not what is foremost in our thoughts. If it is, we certainly aren't being sanctified through that, are we? Whenever we're going through the process of sanctification, there's something else that is first and foremost in our thoughts. It is esteeming, as it says here, the reproach of Christ, greater riches. He had respect. Notice what it says here in verse 28. He had respect unto the recompense of reward there. And the Bible says in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we don't esteem the things of this world. We don't value them highly. In verse 11, last week, we saw that it said, Sarah judged God faithful. The word translated judged is the same word for esteem. And so here, Sarah judged. She put foremost in her thoughts that God is faithful, even as Abraham did. He didn't know how God was going to do it. Noah didn't know how God was going to do it. But they trusted God that somehow God was going to be true to his word. And we need to have foremost in our thoughts the Lord himself. Not money. We need money, but we don't need to esteem it foremost. Recreation, we need recreation, but we don't need to esteem it first of all. We need rest, but we don't need to esteem rest and inactivity most of all. What do we esteem most highly? It is shown through the choices that we make. So we refuse certain things, we choose certain things, and those things we esteem highly. Now we go on to verse 27. Whenever we do that, we're going to leave some things behind. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. He left it behind. When you got saved, what did you leave behind? There are certain things we left behind. If you can't think of anything that you left behind when you got saved, it's very likely you haven't been saved. Because whenever they came out of Egypt, Egypt represents the old life, the unsaved life, the life that is bound to sin. And then when they were freed from that, they left Egypt behind there. They forsook that. And Egypt is that picture of sin that enslaves us there. Mark 1:18, Jesus with the disciples, it says, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. So they left behind their nets and they followed the Lord. And Luke 5:11 says, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. They left all their ships, the fish and everything, and they followed him. And so forsaking certain things in our lives, we leave the old life behind. Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. He didn't want to, you know, leave those there. He didn't want anything to do with the old life there. Think about when Christ came from heaven. And we do that this time of year when we think about Christmas. What did Jesus forsake for you and for me? Well, he forsook heaven. He forsook all the glory that he had with God the Father. He left all those things behind. And since he was willing to leave so many things behind, he tells us that we're to take up our cross and follow him and forsake certain things in our lives. That is part of the sanctification process, esteeming certain things highly and focusing on those and forsaking. These things are hard. How do you do all of these things? Well, it's by faith, we understand, and they are hard. That's why we need to endure. Verse 27 says, by faith, he forsook, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How did he endure? Where did Moses get his strength? That's what this word endure has to do with. It has to do with strength. How do we get the strength to keep on keeping on? To endure. We do that by what we see. He did that by seeing him who is invisible there. And so our focus, our vision must be on Christ, seeing him, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Because when we start looking on all the things that we're forsaking and all the troubles and trials that we have, if we are focusing on those things, we're not going to endure too well. Probably going to faint and become weary. It says here that Moses endured. He endured suffering. He endured solitude. People rejected him and accused him, but yet he kept on going. And that's what we do as part of the sanctification process. There are two more. The next thing we do, certain things we keep. In verse 28, it says, through faith, he kept the Passover. The word kept is a verb that means to make or to do, and it is in the present tense. And so here, he was continually doing something. Notice what it is in verse 28. It says, he kept on doing the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them there. And so the Passover was a constant reminder of how they had been brought out of Egypt, how they had left it behind. And today is the first Sunday of the month, so we take the Lord's table, and it's a reminder of what Christ has done for us, of what he left behind when he came to earth to die for us. And this keeping, making, and doing constantly has to do with our consistent actions and our Christian walk there. And that's the key to an effective testimony, being consistent in our walk with the Lord. Not a religion of convenience, as I said, which many have today. And the last thing involved in our sanctification is in verse 29, and that is passing through. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying or attempting to do, were drowned. Think about the Israelites. Had they lingered right there where the Red Sea had divided, they would have drowned. Had they gone back into Egypt, they would have been killed. Had they stayed in the wilderness, they would have missed God's best. So what they did is they passed on through. And that's what we do in the process of sanctification. We don't let our sins hold us down and drown us or defeat us or keep us from the best that God has for us. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to drown us. He wants to defeat us. He wants to discourage us. He wants us to just wander and wander and wander for 40 years like they did in the wilderness there. But God wants us to pass on through. How do we do that? By faith, where we're looking unto Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Egypt, that old life. Notice it says in verse 29 that some essayed, some attempted to go across, but they didn't make it. You know, and so it is today, isn't it? There are some people who try to cross the Red Sea, and that is a picture of salvation. There are some that attempt to get to the other side, but they don't make it. Why? They don't do it by faith. And that's the only way we can be saved, is by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. There were some attempting to do it, but those Egyptians weren't going through by faith as the Israelites were there. And then they wandered in the wilderness. The New Testament talks about being entangled there. Well, in closing, let's finish up the chapter here. A few verses I'll read. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed 7 days. So here's Joshua, you know, just blowing the horn of faith, and the walls came down. That's what we do. We endure. We keep on blowing the horn of faith. Verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me, would fail him and will fail me too, to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. And Moses forsook Egypt. Rahab forsook her people. Gideon forsook his father's idols. All of these forsook something, and that's one of the steps in the process of sanctification. Then it goes on to say in verse 33, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, they waxed valiant in fight, they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others, verse 36, had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves on the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, they received the promise there. And so all of these, they forsook certain things, and they had their focus on certain things so that they would choose the right things, and certainly they did endure. And it says here that they received not the promise. They did receive heaven. They're in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, but they didn't receive the promise of the coming Messiah. But we have, and that's where we close in verse 40. The last verse says, God, having provided some better thing for us, that without us they should not be made perfect. Remember the theme of Hebrews? Better. God has something better for us, better than Egypt, better than the wilderness for sure. He has something better for us. And that is that we're going to be made perfect. There's coming a day where the glorification is going to take place by faith. But from that point of justification to that point of glorification, there's this process of faith that we call sanctification, where we are becoming more and more like Christ. And it involves certain actions on our part, where we trust God when we leave certain things behind and we choose certain things. May God help us to make choices and take actions that are helpful in our process of sanctification and doesn't cause setbacks in our walk with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ leaving the palace of heaven and all that he left behind to come to save us. Help us that we would be like Joseph, where we don't want any part of us, not even our bones when we're dead, to be part of the old life. Lord, that we would keep our eyes upon him who is invisible. Lord, speak to our hearts as we have a time of communion and the Lord's table, as we have opportunity to draw closer to you. May your Holy Spirit have his way in each heart and life. In Christ's name, amen.